Because part two here is the principle that we're going to be talking about is watch and be ready to obey. And we are going to be talking about the information manifestations, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. I love that song about the tree because it's actually just another illustration of the cell phone being on. Because what the picture of from Proverbs 1 is, he shall be planted like a tree. It's really not the river. Like, I always got this picture of a river with these big oak trees and stuff like that. But it's really a picture of an eastern garden where God is the gardener, the Lord is the gardener. And the way the gardener would set up irrigation ditches surrounding every plant so that he could control the amount of water and the amount of nourishment that every single plant in the garden needed. So it says that there's another verse in Proverbs about how the garden is in the hand of the gardener. So if we're a tree planted in the garden, really what's happening is that the gardener, God, is giving us that life-giving water, revelation, or knowledge, whichever one we need, at exactly the right time so that it can flourish and produce fruit. Now, did we produce the fruit? No. Did we give the water? Did we do anything except stay planted? That's it. You stay planted and let God be the gardener. So that's just another, actually, just another illustration of the same thing. If you want to open your Bible and turn to Romans 7, the first thing I want to talk about is about how it's Christ in us, right? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's say it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, that means that the fullness of all Christ is in us. And it's in me, or it's in you, and you, and you, and you, and you, because that's plural. It's in you. Alright? But everything that Christ is in us. And it's explained in the Word in lots of different ways so that we can understand it. Like, that's one way about the tree. There's a number of other different ways, but one of the most important ways is it talks about it as it's a new man or an inner man. Right? Christ was a man, right? Okay, but there's a spirit man that's inside of us, and in Romans 7, verse 22, it calls it the inward man, right? Verse 22, for I rejoice in the law of God, in the inward man. So there's an inward man as well as an outer man. And now this inner man is just as complete as my outer man. My outer man has, you know, arms and fingers and a head and hair, feet and all these different parts to it, right? Well, I don't know, when I was a kid, if somebody said, you know, you have the Spirit inside or Christ in you, I just thought he was in my heart. And I had this picture that, you know, God was in my heart. And like just a little tiny thing right in there. No! He is like all in all in all in all complete behind our outer man. So every part of our outer man has an inner man that matches it, which is Christ. So, lift up your finger. Just say, why don't I? That finger, there's a Christ. There's Christ behind this finger right here. There's Christ behind my arm. There's Christ now. There's Christ behind my eyes. There's Christ behind my ears. There's Christ behind my hands that touch. There's Christ behind my tongue so I can speak, right? There's Christ behind my nose, and all of the way that my physical outward body works is exactly the same way that the inward body works. It's by way of senses. If I look over in the back of the room there and I see that picture, I see. My eyes go to that picture. It's a picture. and my brain registers it, and then I know, oh, that's a picture of blah, 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 blah. It's not difficult. That's the way God designed our outer body for, right? So he said, well, I'm going to make the inner man, the spirit man, work exactly the same way so it'll be easy for everybody. The smallest child who starts to learn how to talk and how to understand things can receive a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, just as easily as someone who's been walking in with God for 50 years. Because it works the same way as our outer man works. And it's not difficult. So now, just think about how in the senses of how we perceive things and how we understand things, in our culture particularly, the two predominant senses are seeing and hearing. We focus a lot of our attention on what we're seeing and also what we hear. And so that's why when people talk about revelation or the information manifestations, they talk about, I heard the Lord's voice, or I saw something. Because those are the two ways that are the easiest to understand, where you hear something. And I remember the very first time that I actually ever understood this, and I got so excited about how there was this inner man inside of me. And I don't believe that I actually had ever heard God's voice before. And I was at this conference, and we had gotten ready, and we're, you know, getting all dressed. It was in a dorm situation. And a bunch of the girls had ironing boards out, and they were ironing clothes, and it was all a big to-do. And we're like, oh, God, this is the conference, you know. This is one of my very first conferences I ever got to be at. And so I was like, I really want to learn more about this guy. I really do want to hear your voice. I really do. And I was walking out the door of the room, and all of a sudden I got this picture in my head, a flashing of the iron being on and the ironing board, and a voice just saying, go back in the room. Whoa! This is pretty cool, but I don't know if it's real or not. So, I mean, I could not wait to turn around and go back into that room. And sure enough, that iron was on. And had it stayed on, it would have caused the fire. Because it was, you know, it was down on the, you know, it wasn't just up. It was on the board. And I just remember just being so thankful. Gosh, God, you talk to me. Do you really think I'm that special? And then, you know, it just over the years, it finally realized that this is that's the kind of relationship he wants to have with every single person. He wants to just tell them all the things that they need to know. Small, big, who cares what it is. If the iron's on, you need to know that. So he can do it by hearing, seeing, tasting, touching, or smelling. Smelling is probably the most interesting one. I don't know, how many of you have ever smelled the devil's fruit? It stinks really, really, really bad. And if you smell it, sometimes you're looking around going, don't you smell that? That's really, really bad. There's a really bad stink in here. And the other person next to you is going, no, I don't smell anything. What's your problem? Oh. That's not my outward nose. That's my inward nose. That's my inner man nose that's smelling it. And it's usually as soon as you smell something like that and you recognize that it is a spirit, then the smell goes away. Oh, now then it comes information time. Sal has a really great incident. Yeah, just come on up.
Yeah.
Because this, we can read all the records, and we are going to read a couple different records, but I want to just encourage us at this point to start thinking about your own experience. You know, when was the first time you ever really heard God's voice? And if you haven't heard God's voice, then just ask him. I want to know this inward. I want to be able to hear with my inner Christ in you ears. And he will. He'll show you. So this is a really cool little story.
Yeah. And I did that recently, and I started asking God, I want to hear your voice more. I want to hear your voice more. I want to hear your voice more. And God started talking to me, but I wasn't listening. And the one example I gave was that I was coming home from work on a Thursday night, and God said to me, he's almost gone, he said, call Scott Greenwood and ask him to teach at your fellowship over Skype tomorrow night. We do a fellowship on Friday nights at 7:30. And I said, okay. And got home that night and got busy. Didn't call. Go to work the next day. On my way home, call Scott over here. Come to teach the fellowship tonight over Skype. Okay. I get home and I'm preparing and get dinner and you get busy and 7:20. And I go, didn't call Scott. I'm texting. So I get on my phone and I'm texting it out. Would you keep the fellowship tonight? And I go, it's 10 minutes of the fellowship. How can I do this to this guy? No way can I do it. I actually click on one of the words, select all, delete. Delete the text. And God says, send it. Paste, send. Text me back a minute later. Tonight? Question mark? Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm in. Now, listening is one thing, but the profit of it is that three people got healed by it. Just by listening to things change. Two of them were overstuffed. Just listening to the word spoken. Something happened. Prophet was follow through, as simple as it is. And yeah, so that taught me a lot about saying yes to God. I'm really not ready. But it also taught me that mercy of God is coming
around. There you go.
See, watch and be ready to obey. That's the key. You know, remember the song, I'll be listening, I'll be listening. Yeah, it's not enough even to know about this stuff. We are going to be talking about what is wisdom and what is knowledge. But the purpose of it is so that we can obey. Because that's when it starts going into action. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I always used to say, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And I thought knowledge came first and then wisdom. However, it was very revealing one day to just look at this passage and go, whoa, wisdom is first. It says, word of knowledge. There is a word of knowledge that is given to him by the Spirit. And now for another, a word of wisdom is first. A word of wisdom that is given to him by the Spirit. And now for another, of the same kind, is a word of knowledge. So these are a pair, and I explained that, you know, we call them information, right? So if wisdom is first, then I must not understand what wisdom is, or what a word of wisdom is. So now I have another picture for you. Let's see. Okay. It's got, this is a KH, and then this is a K, and then this is an M. And it's pronounced Kakum. Kakum, Kakum, yes. There, it's both in both Aramaic and Hebrew. It's the word for wisdom, or to be wise. And, This is the picture of a fence. And this is water. The M is the water. And the C in the middle is an open hand. Like a palm. Palm thing open like this. Alright. And what it means is to separate out the source of the water. Water always stands for revelation or spiritual life of some sort. Water is a symbol throughout the word of life, something that gives life, right? And a fence divides something from something else, right? So what wisdom is it separates out the good from the bad, the right from the wrong, the what's outside from what's inside. It's where's the fence? That's what wisdom is. And all good comes from God. All evil comes from the evil one. And then man is in the middle somewhere. Right? But if we're separating out the source, maybe I should write that on there, huh? The meaning of it is to separate the source of the water or of the light. Separate the source. I don't know what. Sorry. There we go. Writing took it a little bit, but. Alright, now let's just think about this in light of what wisdom is. There is a verse in Exodus chapter 31. This is the record of when they were gathering together all the materials and the people to build the tabernacle in the time of Moses. And in Exodus 33 and in verse 2, it says, "See, I have called my name Bezalel." 31:2. Yeah. "The son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God." That's a way that God describes how we are filled with Christ in us, right? Filled with the Spirit. "In wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." So this man who was going to be the chief architect of the tabernacle, God filled with his Spirit, and the first thing he gave him was wisdom. To know what was good, what was not good. How to distinguish where's the source. And as they worked on the tabernacle, every single thing, they went to God. What do we do here? What do we do there? What do we do there? To get the, you have to have the overall distinguishing, separating the picture first of where's the source. So anytime we walk into any profiting situation, the first thing is, What's the source? Is it from God? Is it from the enemy? Or is it from man? And God will give that overall picture first. Then he will give the knowledge, the word of knowledge, which is basically the facts or what to do and how to carry out, how to deal with the overall situation. So the word for knowledge, can you see it from back there? Okay, I'll do it like this. The word for knowledge is spelled U, like a D, and then this is the I. So this is a hand, this is a door, this is an eye. And it means door of the eye. Or, let me see how to say it better here. How to go in the door. You need to see how to go in the door. All right, it's not enough to know what the source of something is. Oh, I see, there's a devil spirit over there. That's an overall thing. That there's something evil coming from the enemy. You see that. Now, how do I go in the door and deal with it? That's where the word of knowledge comes in. And knowledge is this is a very intimate word where it has to do with the relationship that we have with God. It's like, well, like my granddaughter, for a long time, she would be shy with me when I first would come over to the house, because she didn't know, like she had a lot of other caretakers, and she was young enough that she didn't really know I was her nana. I was just kind of one of a bunch of people that would always come and take care of her, and she would go, "Mama," you know, well, why are you leaving me with this person? And I go, oh, but I'm a grandma. you could kind of treat me a little special, you know. And but she finally got the idea that, oh, this is my Nana. And so then when I would come over, instead of being so shy and just going like this, she would just come running in my arms. Nana! You know, what are you about to tell me? You know? And so like, would you like to go to the park? Should we do coloring? You know, she had opened her heart and realized that there was a relationship there. So she has developed, being only 2 and a half, a desire to want to learn from me. You know? And as a grandma, if you, any of you are, that's the most precious thing in the whole world. It's you already have this really beautiful relationship physically and because of a blood tie, but then to have a child who's not really your own child but you relate to come to you and just go, I want to be, touch me, do me, something, be with me, I love you, you know, like that. Well, that's kind of how the word of knowledge is. It's not this big factual thing. Another example is, okay, I take Elizabeth to the park, and she's looking at the slide going, I don't know if I want to go on this slide that goes all the way around, you know, like this. And so the first time I walk up there with her and go down with her, and she's got her little monkey in her hand, and she's like, monk, come. Yeah, monkey, come on the slide too, you know. So we go down the slide, and she realizes that it's really fun. Like, you show her the way, right? And then she can do it herself. It's a relationship kind of knowledge. It's really an intimate sort of knowledge. Then, as soon as we did that one time, she was like, ah, back around. And she like, go on the slide 15 times and throw Monk down ahead of her and then grab him. And by the time at the end of it, she said, ah, going down the slide, you know, because she's free then. We gave her the way. We showed her the way. And that's the door. How to go in, how to do it, where to go, what to say. It's all, that's what word of knowledge is. So, just to summarize, see, the word of wisdom is the overall picture of separating the good from the bad, where is the source, and then the word of knowledge is the very specific thing of how to go in the door. Now, let's look at an example of that. In, let's see, here we go, Mark chapter 2. This is the record of a man with a palsy. It kind of combines some of the things that we're talking about here. You know, sometimes it's just really hard to pick which record to look at, because you could actually take any record you want to of healing or where there's revelation being given, and you can see wisdom's first and then knowledge. So I encourage you to just go back and, you know, start reading not only the Gospels but, you know, some records in Acts and in the Old Testament for sure, because they're all the same. Here's the wisdom, here's the knowledge. Here's the wisdom, here's the knowledge. So we'll see it in this one. Mark chapter 2. Verse 1. And Jesus again entered into Capernaum after some days, and when they heard that he was in the house, many gathered so that the house was not able to contain them, not even in the front door. And he was speaking the word with them. So here we have the scene, right? We have the profiting time. The benefiting situation. He's speaking the word. There's all these people. Everybody's there. Okay? So the scene is set. And they came to him and brought him a paralytic, a man with a palsy, bearing him between four men. And because they were not able to draw near to him because of the crowd, they climbed up to the roof and lifted the covering of the place where Jesus was and they lowered the bed on which the paralytic was laid. Ah, here you are. Here's Jesus. He's teaching the word, right? And all of a sudden, the roof starts being opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what's the first question? God, what's the source of this? Father, is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it from the enemy? Is it from man? What's happening? And as he's watching them open the roof, God had already told him and gave him the picture or the hearing or whichever way it worked through his senses that this is a good thing. And this is a good opportunity. And that you will be able to help to bring deliverance in this situation. So that's when verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Part of what the wisdom was and the beginning of God telling him what to do then was he saw faith. He perceived it. He saw it not with his physical eyes, because how could he tell? These just four guys, they're bringing this guy on a mat, you know, and all of it's happening all at one time, right? But inside his spiritual eyes, he saw faith of all five of them. God showed him that all five of these guys had faith. Their faith, see? So they lower him down into the room. And the first thing Jesus says is, he said to the paralytic, my son, your sins are forgiven you. Whoa! Now, what was that? That's where the word of knowledge was, see? The knowledge, the very intimate thing that God would show him just immediately is, this man needs to know that his sins are forgiven. Isn't that tender? It's so loving. It's so personal. It's so exactly what that guy needed. And, you know, I try to, like, picture this in real time. How tender he must have said it, too. There's this gigantic crowd, right? And these people are making a scene. But he just like, turns to him and just probably says it really quietly so that, you know, only the immediate people could hear, your sins are forgiven you. Now, who did hear? Were the Pharisees. Verse 6. Now there were some scribes and Pharisees who were sitting and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemy? Who is able to forgive sins except one God? And then verse 8. Another knowledge thing. Jesus knew in his spirit. He knew. It's just like when you look out and you recognize something, you look at a picture, oh, that's a picture of blah, 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 blah. That's the same way the inner man works, is that he just knew. He knew what they were thinking. They were reasoning these things in themselves. And he said to them, why do you reason these things in your heart? Because they were saying it inside themselves. They didn't say it out loud. The Pharisees were not saying this out loud. They were just going. But God showed him exactly what they were thinking. What are you reasoning in your hearts for? What is it easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and take up your bed and walk. But that you might know that it is lawful for the Son of Man to forgive sins on earth. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, he's saying to the paralytic guy, not to the scribes and Pharisees. He said to the paralytic guy, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. All of this scene had to happen because right then, that's when the guy gets healed. Okay, he didn't get healed the first time Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. It took this little extra scene here where he observed the scribes and Pharisees being, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to do it, you know, the legalistic way here?
are you going to really trust this Jesus? I don't know if you're going to trust this Jesus or not, you know? Who is he? What right does he have to say to forgive sins? You know? And the man was looking at the Pharisees, he was looking at Jesus, and he chose. He chose to obey what Jesus said. So that's the reason why it didn't matter what he said, rise up and walk or your sins are forgiven you. It did matter that the man chose. And he grasped onto that. All right, if he said it, then that's what God meant. And my sins are forgiven. And bam, he got healed. Where God energized it, see? And then all the other five start happening, too, because there's prophecy in here, there's gifts of healing, there's a miracle, the fact that, you know, the guy had not walked, and all of a sudden his legs are working. So there's all the five action manifestations in here, too. Faith, God energized the words that Jesus spoke, the gifts of healing, because the man was restored. The miracle, because it happened immediately and it was quite completely impossible to have that happen naturally. And you have discerning spirits and prophecy too. And we're going to see more how they all work together. But the point is how wisdom and knowledge follow each other. You said the overall picture, here we are, we're in a profiting situation, what's going on? And then, bam, here's the knowledge. Say this. Do this. This is what people are thinking. This is how you need to handle it. And the man got healed. Really simple. And really, I think, and for me personally as well, I think I've been confronted lately with some pharisaical sort of attitudes in my own heart, where I was the one going, well, let's see how this works here, you know. I believe in miracles, I do, I love God. You know, Pharisees love God, and they were all about service, but they just had this attitude of like, we'll see. And I found myself doing that when I heard about other people's testimonies, or this person got raised from the dead, or all this stuff going, where did that come from? You know, is that really God? Or how come that's not in my life then? You know, I just had that sort of thing of reasoning in my heart. And so over the last really very pretty short period of time, just have tried to start recognizing that I was doing that same thing as the Pharisees were doing. And instead to turn it around and go, okay, I need to see where the door in is. I need to see the water. I need to know what God's answer is in any situation, no matter what it is. If I walk in this room here today, and even though, you know, God has worked a lot of these things in my heart, he's just going, say this, go here, look at that verse. It's easy to walk like that. It becomes a way of life where it's not, I'm not trying to reason it out. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to figure it out and have it all lined up in a row. To be a true, it's not my job to figure out where the water is. It's not my job to make it grow. It's not my job to bring the life. It's my job to stay planted and to be watching, ready to obey when God says, text Scott today, I go, send. And not stop it and not go, I don't know, but see, that's just a simple example, but we do that in very, very detailed way in lots and lots and lots of situations. So if we want to break out of that, and I'm saying we because I'm talking to myself too, if I want to break out of trying to have it all lined up in some, you know, really logical path, here's the definition, this is what you do, this is how you operate it, all this stuff, if I want to stop that and just go, this is my life. This is the way God designed me. He put the inner man in me. So if I touch Michael, that is Christ touching him. If I speak, then there are his words right there on my mouth to speak. And that's why I can be always ready. And that's why it's easy then. And it's not a big strain. And it's not... it doesn't take years and years and years and years to learn. It can happen right now. And after the, you know, when everybody was at the break, I saw God doing that. He was saying, this person had the conversation over here, and God was saying, say this to that one. And someone else was sharing about some other incident. And then there was, because that's how the body works. I'm just one person up here sharing and trying to, like, expose this stuff. But it's our job as a collective group to now take this and say, I'm going to make this my lifestyle. And then go out and tell hundreds of other people about it. Because this is how God wants us to live every day. Not just, you know, one time a month where you might happen to, you know, be in a conference. It's our life. And it's what he has made available. And it's simple enough to understand that any child can do it. So if a child can do it, then so can we. If we get childlike in our hearts and in our minds, and we just say, yeah, I'm keeping my cell phone on. I like my cell phone. I'm going to have messages upon messages upon messages, and I'm going to get pictures too, dang it. I want to have those pictures. Because sometimes if I don't turn my dad on and I don't get the pictures, I'm going to get the pictures. Okay, God wants to send us tons and tons and tons of pictures and tell us everything there is to know about what's going on. See the overall picture first, then what do you do about it? How do you go in the door? So I guess we'll break for lunch now. And after lunch, we're going to talk a little bit about... Is it time for lunch? Yeah. After lunch, we're going to talk a little bit about discerning of spirits and faith. And then have some time for discussions and questions and all kinds of cool stuff. So God bless you.